When he was a kid, Mark Schmidt fished for steelhead and salmon on the Malala River. It's about an hour from Portland, in the foothills of the Cascades. Schmidt would stay with a friend in a cabin on the riverbank.
And if we could so much as hear the raindrops falling on the shingles during the night, we were aware that we would not be fishing in the morning.
In the 1960s, the Malala Basin was heavily logged. Schmidt says when it rained, logging operations sent sediment pouring down the river.
It kind of looked like orange wet cement.
A lot has changed. Today, state laws and the Federal Clean Water Act require timberland owners to follow what's called best management practices when they log to protect water quality. So, how do you protect a stream when you're clear-cutting all around it? There are obvious steps, like leaving a buffer of trees untouched to protect the bank and shade the water. But it turns out road engineering is another key step.
Roads can frequently contribute as much as 90% of the sediment going into streams.
That's Dave Powers. He's a forest and rangeland manager for the Environmental Protection Agency.
Particularly if they're not properly located, designed, and operated.
Powers says roads alter the natural plumbing of a forest. Their hard, flat surfaces collect and channel rainwater. And in a storm, all that fast-moving water can carry fine sediment into streams, where it causes problems for salmon and trout.
It can prevent spawning from taking place. It can smother eggs. They need cool water, they need clean water, and they need oxygen in it. And sediment isn't conducive to any of those things.
The key to fixing the problem, Powers says, is keeping roads and streams separated. Most roads collect stormwater in ditches. If those ditches empty into streams, they muddy the water. The fix? Drain the ditch onto the forest floor instead. It acts like a filter or a sponge. A log truck rolls by. Jeff Melskow is an engineer with Weyerhaeuser. He works on their tree plantation in the Malala Basin, in the same place where the river ran orange in the 1960s, when a different company owned the forest land. Melskow is rebuilding the North Fork Malala Road to prepare for several clear cuts.
Over the next 18 months, we'll have 1,000 to 1,200 log trucks coming down this road, and so that kind of gets our antennas up.
Melskow points out a place where the road runs into a cascading stream.
We do have a live stream behind us, and right up here is our cross drain.
When a storm hits, this cross drain should direct muddy runoff underneath the road, away from the stream.
And we get it off onto the floor and let it infiltrate before it gets down into the creek.
Melskow says none of his roads are polluting streams with muddy runoff. But a study in Washington State found that 1 in 10 logging roads is still draining runoff into a stream. And in Oregon, 1 in 4 logging roads may still be connected to streams. Mark Riskdahl is an attorney with the Northwest Environmental Defense Center. He thinks the timber industry should be required to get pollution permits for the runoff from their roads. He says other industries have to.
So scrap yards, gravel mines, municipalities have to get these types of permits for discharges from road networks within cities, large and small.
Those permits would limit how much sediment a company could discharge. And Riskdahl's group filed a lawsuit to force the EPA to require permits for logging roads.
Why should, Wall Street timber investment firms and huge timber companies get special treatment under the Clean Water Act? If they're generating pollution, they should be held accountable just as everybody else is.
Riskdahl's group won the case, but the U.S. Supreme Court has agreed to review the decision. The timber industry says the permits would just amount to more paperwork. And Congress, and even the EPA, also oppose the idea of permits for sediment. On the Malala, at least, there is evidence that the state's guidelines for logging road construction and maintenance are working. Mark Schmidt, who used to fish here as a kid, helps run a river conservation group. He says the Malala occasionally gets murky for a day or two, but otherwise, the water is clear.
We do not have anywhere near the level of turbidity in the river that we did in the 60s. It's just no comparison.
And that, Schmidt says, is very good news for fish. I'm Amelia Templeton, reporting.